On this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night. What is up, Boiler Nation? It's Wednesday night. It's January 29th, 2025, the last Boiler Breakdown of January. In a way, it seems like January has lasted a year. In another way, it's went by pretty fast. And it just depends on the day, depends on the weather outside. But I'm Tanner Lee Coast. Evan Webb's in the house. Webby, how are we doing this evening?
Doing a lot better than last episode, that's for sure.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We never like talking about losses. Tonight we get to talk about dominating victory of a ranked team.
Yeah. And with a big one coming up on Friday.
Always. Throw the records out the window. Purdue and Indiana get together on the hardwood. It's always an intense environment. We got a comment here from Derek on YouTube. Let's go, boys. At Purdue B-ball guy here. Y'all rock. Beat IU.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Derek. Hey, thanks for the compliment. Thanks for tuning in. Always BTFU, POTFH, BIU, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. See Derek's tweets all the time.
Yep. So, but yeah, going back to the game Friday night, 8 o'clock, national television on Fox, the game that we just played, I should say.
Yep.
I mean, this week's will be too, but against Michigan, I mean, going into it, I think you felt like I did, very nervous, just because coming off that loss to Ohio State, the way the second half unraveled in the Ohio State game, we're like, all of a sudden, this kind of feels like a must win. And I think the guys in the Purdue locker room felt the same way, because they came out pissed off. And when Purdue's pissed off, they're a pretty good team. And when Braden Smith's pissed off, hard to argue that he's not a top five player in the country.
Oh, absolutely. You hated feeling this way, but it felt like, I don't know if we touched this last week or not, but it felt like going into it was like, man, if we lose this game, the chance of a three-peat is probably going to be slim to none, just because of you lose two home games. I don't care what conference you're in, that's, it's tough to overcome, because you know you're going to drop a few on the road, just the nature of college basketball. But if you drop two home ones, that's, you got to, it means you got to go steal a couple tough ones that you weren't expected to win, and that just makes your road that much harder. But yeah, that was a fun atmosphere. I was lucky enough to be there late. Got there right. I walked into Mackey right as CJ got his layup and then hit his three. I was like, didn't he just score? And he's like, he heard it again. And that's when we walked in. But yeah, Mackey was an awesome environment. I mean, day different than what we saw last week against Ohio State. Mackey was ready from the jump, and it just felt like a powder keg in that first half.
Yeah, and I mean, Braden getting a steal right away, then like CJ getting a steal and that layup in that three. Purdue couldn't have got off to a better start. Punched Michigan right in the mouth. Michigan couldn't recover, and honestly, I can make the argument the game was over 10 minutes into it.
Yeah. And I mean, Mackey has an ability to do that to people. A lot of good venues have the ability where if you get off to a slow start like that at a place like Mackey, it's really hard to overcome. You got to really play perfect basketball in, or hope Purdue sucks, which has happened. But yeah, Purdue came out, and you just tell from the jump that this was a much different team than what we saw in Ohio State. And I think definitely was not expecting that. I mean, you had to expect that they knew Purdue would come out obviously pissed off because of the loss of Ohio State, but I don't think they expected that. I remember reading some comments from some of the guys before the game. I don't think they were expecting what Mackey was going to be like. Hopefully it was a nice welcome to the Big Ten moment for a lot of those transfers.
Oh, absolutely. Got a good question here from Derek. Yeah. On YouTube, what's your take on Braden's NBA potential? Do you think he leaves if he is projected second round this summer? He seems to be garnering some attention from scouts. And go give Derek a follow on X at Purdue B-ball guy.
I think he'd be an NBA player. So I'm biased. you know, I remember Painter talking about, you know, he kind of fits maybe that Peyton Pritchard mold type player. You know, obviously the biggest knock on Braden is his size. You know, he's not the thing, you know, he's listed at 6 foot. I would be, might be saying like you're 6 foot, Dan. but he's got a good wingspan, which obviously can help when it comes to defense. I think his wingspan is pushing almost like 6'5". I could be making that up. I swear I heard some. It was some. You know, I know he had a pretty large wingspan. I would think he leaves if he's like around lock. That's just me. I would hope that if there is, I think he will test the waters this summer. I mean, at this point, I think you get two changes.
Doesn't hurt anything.
It doesn't hurt anything. The only thing it could hurt is, you know, obviously Purdue if you lose them. I mean, you're sending a guy to the NBA potentially, which is always good. You know, it's always a good recruiting tool. But I would think that, you know, Purdue could probably pony and get him a sweet deal. Because second round, it depends where you're at in the second round. Like, I mean, you see it all the time. Guys come back to college because the money coming back to college is going to be better than what they can get in the second mm-hmm. round. And the chances are it'll be there the next year. After he graduates, and then obviously throwing it, you know, assuming we get everybody back and the chance to, you know, obviously depends how this year goes, but a chance to lead a team that could be, you know, obviously Big Ten favorites again, Final Fours in Indy. There's a lot of that plays into it, but yeah, it's cool. I mean, it was kind of cool to see that, you know, all the scouts were there on last week to see Danny Wolf and guys, and yeah, Braden definitely stole the show, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with a lot of things you've said there. I mean, I do think he's talented enough to play in the NBA. Another thing about second-round picks is, yeah, they're not guaranteed contracts. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys in the past get drafted second round and don't make the team, or especially get sent right down to G League, and then sometimes they work their way up, sometimes they don't.
Example. Yeah, Carson Edwards was a great example of that. You know, he went out when his stock – It would have been coming off that tournament run, so don't blame him for that. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously crushing it in Europe right now, which you can make amazing money in, which is obviously not the glamour that the NBA has. But I mean, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think I'd rather live in Spain than I'd rather live in Salt Lake City or something.
yeah. And we've seen other guys do well, second round picks. I mean, Carl Landry, number one pick in second round. He did just fine for himself on NBA career. Brian Cardinal made a lot of money as a second round pick. And Brad Miller, two-time All-Star as an undrafted guy. So yeah, you can definitely, just matters. Sometimes you got to land with the right fit, but hopefully Braden's coming back next year. Unless, you know, if we win to Natty, then he can leave. But anything short of that, hopefully he's back.
Yeah. I do want to do a quick audio check for those who are tuning in live. If you can hear me talk, it sounds like I might be a little choppy on Tanner's end. So if you're hearing me, is it the same for you or is it just maybe Tanner's?
It could be my.
I don't know how to fix that outside of plugging in my mic and plugging it back in.
Derek said on YouTube, saw someone on Twitter bring this up. Next year with Cox, Colvin Harris, Braden, and Jacobson anchoring, Purdue could have one of the most elite defenses of all time, assuming they are all still around. And Derek says, a little choppy here and there. It might be connection. Interesting. Webby.
Yeah. Put an answer. I'm a little play
okay.
around.
Okay. No, that's a good question, Derek, and a good observation. I hadn't even really thought about that. I'm still shocked this Purdue team has come around to being as good of a defensive team as they have. And, I mean, kudos to the guys putting in the work, Painter switching starting lineup. I mean, ever since that Minnesota game when he inserted Cox in first in the lineup and put Colvin and Heidi on the bench, it sparked something in the defensive efforts. I mean, getting 30 points off turnovers the other night. They've done that back-to-back games, which really makes the Ohio State loss even more of a head-scratcher. When you get 30 points off turnovers, you rarely see a team in college basketball lose the game. But just one of those weird things that kind of added up into a Purdue loss, which I guess is a good problem to have if you're Purdue. You have to have some weird stuff happen and Mackey for opponent to come in to beat you. But no, that's interesting. Yeah, Jacobson's obviously going to be the rim protector next year. Definitely don't have a rim protector right now in his absence. I think as of a game or two ago, Braden Smith had more blocks on the season than Trey Kaufman-Wren. But that's okay. Trey does enough. Does enough other things. He doesn't have to be a shot blocker. But no, I think, yeah, assuming everybody comes back, I've said this multiple times on the podcast, I think, and this year's team still got a chance to do something special too, but I think next year's team's got a chance to do something really, really special.
Yeah, I think Mike Harmon maybe wrote about this. Someone wrote about it, but I think, you know, the Jacobson injury could have looked as a silver lining for this Harmon team, just because, you know, in the past 2 years, you know, you can't, if the guys didn't, you know, knowing that you had Zach Edey back there, you can't tell me that didn't play into them, like, you know, maybe not tempting to cut off the dribble drive as much, because I know that they had, you know, a tree back there to block shots. And so maybe now have that with Jacobson going out, it's forced them to really kind of tighten up. And yeah, I can't believe this defense and how good they've been. For a while, just like, I just feel like maybe it's just a fluke. Maybe teams are just, you know, doing bad shots, but it's like, man, it's all the time. I think it's my connection too. I'm getting a lot of my Wi-Fi little blurb up there, keeps to one bar. I may go grab something to do a router or a hotspot or something. Topic. But yeah, I think, yeah, I cannot believe how this team's defensively has turned out, because it's, I mean, this is, as Brian Newbert said, like, this is reminding me to the Keaton Grant and Chris Kramer days of just like, just turning people over all the time, and like, not just them making bad passes, but just quite literally just like taking it from them.
And that's back when the rules were different defensively. It was easier to get turnovers back then. I mean, I know it's been talked about many, many times, and this comes from a huge Chris Kramer fan and myself. I think he's my favorite Boilermaker of all time. I mean, he's definitely in my top five, but I think he's probably my favorite of all time. In that, if Chris Kramer played with today's rules, he'd probably have a tough time staying on the floor, because he'd be in foul trouble all the time with just the aggressive nature and style he played with. But yeah, it's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, back in December, Evan and I kept talking about how this team probably was what it was. It wasn't going to be a great defensive team, wasn't going to be a great rebounding team. And here we are. We are at the end of January, and they've turned themselves into a pretty damn good defensive team. So what do we know? That's why we're just fans and chop it up here on the podcast, and not insiders or journalists who get paid for this by any means. So, but can't give the guys and you know, the players and the coaches enough credit for Friday night's performance, 91-64 against a team that was ranked number 21 in the country, a team that one time people thought were going to be the team to beat in the Big Ten. They still could be. They're still in the mix. And then Purdue will see them again February 11th up in Ann Arbor, one of the rare teams this year that Purdue gets the fortune of playing twice, because there's only, I think, what, three of them? Michigan, Indiana, Rutgers.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, because Illinois we play once, Michigan State we only play once, Wisconsin we only play once.
Iowa we're going to play once, teams. Maryland once. Yeah.
Yeah, Northwestern once. That's, I didn't realize it was only three. That's wild.
Yeah, I thought it was four. Makes sense. I mean, yeah. When the schedule came out, but three, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but well, I mean, do you have the box score up from Friday?
I do. So looking at, yeah, we'll start with Purdue, obviously. 11 scored by Braden Smith, I think was my MVP when we made our prediction.
He was. I did. I went with Fletcher and you went with Braden. Yep.
Yeah. He had a, I mean, it's like weird. Like, you watch the game, you're like, oh, he had a great game. And then you look at his box score, it's like, actually, he could have had a lot better of a game, because he was, had 24 points, 10 of 17 shooting, but 0-4 from three. So not a great shooting night for Braden. But 4-4 from the line, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. He, like, once again was on triple double watch. Played 37 minutes and only one turnover, which is massive. Fletcher Lawyer, 18 points, 6 of 13 from the field, but 5 of 10 from behind the arc, 1 of 2 from the line.
Didn't realize he took 3 threes the other night.
Me neither. I mean, I heard that. I was like, I don't remember him taking that many. Trey Kaufman-Wren with 15. played 24 minutes, 7-12, obviously battled some foul trouble in the first half. I think he went out with like 13 minutes left in the first half, I think. I can't remember. Three rebounds, three assists, two turnovers, two steals. CJ Cox, a little firecracker out there. 11 points, 3 or 4 from the field, 1 or 2 from three, 4 or 4 from the line. Three rebounds, no assists, but three steals. And then rounding out the starting lineup, Caleb First, 6 points, 2 or 2 from the field, including a just about ripped the damn rim off on the alley-oop. That was awesome. That was so, I mean, for a guy who struggled to finish at the rim, that was awesome. 2 of 4 from the line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And then coming off the bench, Raleigh Burgess, 6 points, 2 of 2 from behind the arc. Miles Colvin, 5 points, 1 of 4 from beyond the arc.
Lucky to have Charlie 5. Harris, that dunk did not want to go in.
No, it didn't. 4 points for Jakari, who was 0-1 from beyond the arc. And then Cam Heine, 2 points, 1 of 2 from the field, which was alley. And then Brian Waddell and Will Berg each played 3 minutes, but did not score. Waddell did have 1 turnover. And for the game, Purdue shot 9 of 24 from the 3 for 37.5%. Shot 3 of 10 in the second half, but it didn't matter at that point. 14 from the line. There's one area you want to kind of nitpick at was the free throws. Again, I mean, was better in the second half. Went 7-9 in the second half after going 7-12 in the first half. Second chance points, 12 points on turnovers, 29, 17 bench points, 40 points in the paint, 19 fast break points. If you look at Michigan, led in scoring by Vlad Golden, 14 points, but on 5 of 10 shooting and 4 of 4 from the line. Trey Donaldson had 11. Namari Burnett had 11 on 3 of 10 shooting. Ronnie Gale Jr., which is still weird to see an Ohio State player transfer to Michigan, and 11 points off on 3 of 5 shooting. Danny Wolf, 4 points, 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 5 from three. I tweeted he got, because I rewatched the first half, at least part of the first half, the next day. And yeah, he got a tip-in bucket with like 16, 17 in the first half. And that means he only scored 2 more points the rest of the game. And that was free throws in the second half, which is just, I mean, just credit to the Purdue defense there. Yeah, they were 6 of 29 from 3, 1 of 16 in the first half, 5 of 13 in the second half. So definitely kind of more their average. 18 of 20 on the line. They hit the free throws pretty well. But they did have 22 turnovers, including 10, 12, 14 on their starting lineup.
It's not a formula of success.
No, it's not.
If you're on that.
Pretty led wire to wire. You know, for having two big guys, they only had 28 points in the paint, so Purdue outscored them in the paint despite the size disadvantage. The only really stat that they kind of beat Purdue at was second chance points, but just a old-fashioned butt whooping.
Yes, it was. It was a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully they can replicate it on Friday. Derek, with another question here on YouTube. Speaking of Miles and Heidi, what is going on? Feel lucky we have two freshmen stepping up with Harrison Cox. But, man, getting those two going would be nice going into the end of the season. 100%.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, is it a sophomore slump? Who knows? I mean,
we've seen flashes from both guys, but no consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, like, yeah, obviously, thank God we've got Jakari and CJ to step up, which is nice. It's just kind of, you know, it's a luxury to have guys who can step up. You hope those guys can, you know, can find some. And all of it, too, is, I mean, Painter says it, too. It's hard to be consistent when you're in consistent minutes. So depending on how Jakari and CJ are playing, you know, those guys may not get the run that they think. And also, you know, the offense isn't really a run for them. But I thought they both do well. On the defensive end, obviously they had some really good athleticism. Looking at, let's see here, Miles had 2 rebounds, Cam had only 1. So I thought Miles did a pretty good job rebounding. Miles does a good job. He usually comes in for CJ and he'll pick up the best guard, because usually CJ's guarding the number one guard on the other team. So Miles comes in, I think, does a pretty good job kind of not letting the defense fall off. But yeah, you hope that they can get things going, but yeah, I don't know what it is. Just a sophomore slump or what. I know Heidi's technically in his third year, but second year actually playing. But yeah, still a lot of season left.
Yep. There'll be games that are going to be much needed to step up for sure. And Friday could be one of them. Could be one of them. Speaking of the matchup coming up on Friday, the hated rival of the Purdue Boilermakers, the Indiana Hoosiers, are coming into town. Purdue leads the all-time series 127-92. Looking at just back since January 16th, 1999, Purdue leads the series 25-21, 15-7 at Mackey, 10-13 record at Assembly Hall. Purdue's won two in a row over the Hoosiers in seven out of the last 10 matchups, which if you look back, it is pretty remarkable. You know, growing up, Webby, IU kind of dominated in spurts. Purdue would get once once in a while, usually at Mackey. We never really saw one at Assembly Hall. But really, well, actually, Purdue won in Assembly Hall in 1999, February 9th, 1999. Their next win in Bloomington was February 4th, 2010.
Yep.
So
that's crazy. Yeah.
So that's like, it's still weird to me.
And that was Green's. No, that wasn't Green. That was not Green first year. Never mind.
That was his second year. Verdell Jones had a half quarter to tie. Missed it at the buzzer. Purdue was ranked eighth going into that game. So growing up, you know, we didn't see wins at Assembly Hall. We weren't used to them. But ever since we've been in college, we've got pretty used to it, and it's still a weird feeling. I mean, Purdue has dominated this series since our senior years. I mean, it started on my birthday in 2014. Since then, IU's only won four matchups in the series.
That's crazy.
And one in 2016 by 4 points down in Bloomington. Another one in
2022. And that was one that was where 2016 was one where AJ Hammonds got called for goaltending. That was questionable at best. That, you know, could have, you never know how that goes. And
2022 was the Finis, Rob Finney shot.
Rob Finney,
which we airballed a shot from 4 feet away to take the lead.
Yeah.
And then we got swept by them in 2023, a 5-point win for them down Bloomington, an 8-point win for them in Mackey.
And that 5-point win that came after they were up like 20 at half. All the way back and like that, never tie it, but they, man, I remember I was fuming. Mackey game too, but
They just dominated. I mean, Jalen Hood-Schifino went off for 35 that game, and just it was just kind of, I was in awe watching that. But last year, Purdue dominated both matchups, winning by 21 and 20 in both matchups. Before the win in Mackey in 2023 by Indiana, you got to go back to 2013 for Purdue or Indiana's last win in Mackey, 97-60, when they were number three in the country.
He was flexing in front of the paint. Was probably the I've never won it. We were there, obviously, and it was close to probably ever come to just like wanting to just jump down from the upper arena of Mackey Arena and just attack somebody because I was so mad.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun game at all. That was terrible.
No.
But get them this Friday night, January 31st, and return trip to Bloomington next month on February 23rd. You watch a lot more Indiana than I do. Your wife's an IU grad. That's a majority of the reason why you watch a lot more IU than probably the normal Purdue fan. So what's your take on this IU team this year? What's Purdue need to do to get it done on Friday night?
Man,
what can they not do? I guess.
Yeah, they just I don't know if they've played a complete game all year. I mean, even going back to the non-con, they play. I mean, you know they had the best. They didn't have a very good non-con in terms of just strength of schedule. You know, they play. Morehead State's not a team they play, but like a team like that, and they'd be
right.
They'd get up 17, and then all of a sudden at the end of the game, it's down to six. So they just go in stretches where it's like they just kind of lose it. I feel like I will say I don't feel as worried right now as I probably was like 2 weeks ago. That's just because of how Purdue was able to handle Michigan's big men. Cause that was one thousand was really concerning to me was, you know, people get on, you know, Mike Woodson for two bigs in modern day basketball. But I was like, man, that could be a real problem for Purdue, just given Balo's size. And Renew is a really good player. I really like him as a player outside of who he plays for. He's coming back from injury. He really struggled his first game back against Northwestern, and then 90% against Maryland, he struggled, and he finally kind of got going at the end. So hopefully he doesn't get going against Purdue. But my worry is like just being able to contain those guys. But after watching how Purdue was able to handle Michigan, it gives me a lot more confidence, and hopefully we can just take him out of the game. Miles Rice is a really good player. He's very fast. So obviously we'll have our, you know, CJ is going to have work cut out for him more than likely, assuming he's guarding Miles. I mean, like every other year, they've got so much talent. It's just, can they put it together? Which has been a struggle for them all year. It's weird because they've got, you know, two of their Big Ten wins were the two games Purdue lost, which was at Ohio State and at Penn State. That was a Lester, and Purdue's obviously got whooped at Penn State and lost Ohio State at home. But they lost a heartbreaker at home against Maryland on Sunday, where they saw them being down 10 in the second half. They came all the way back. We're up four with 36 seconds left.
Yeah.
And just absolutely botched the end of game out of bounds. So you wonder how that affects a locker room. You know, it can go one of two ways. Obviously, you can just kind of obviously crush them, or can maybe galvanize them, knowing they had, you know, essentially almost a week off to get ready for this. You know, you've only got a handful of guys in that locker room who are from the state and know what this rivalry means, which is Luke Goody and Trey Gallo, which Trey's obviously will be his fifth year playing in the rivalry. And obviously Luke Goody's no stranger to Purdue playing at Illinois. Luke Goody's definitely the guy who seems to care the most on that team, as you can tell, watch them. He's been playing well. He's been shooting. I think he's shooting like over 40% from three in Big Ten play.
Forgot about Leo. Leo's from Indiana.
That's true. But Leo, which
Mr. Basketball,
he's a guy like, yeah, Mr. Basketball. Yeah. Beat out what would have been Jaden Ivey had Jaden Ivey not gone to prep. Leo still would have gotten it that year just because of where he was going to school. The next year. No, Leo's a good player. He's like, I mean, he was honestly got them back in that game on Sunday.
He did. And then he was a firecracker
by taking him out. Your words about taking him out. That seems to be kind of Leo's thing his last couple of years, is like when he has gotten minutes, like he has a couple of games and then he just fades away. I think if Purdue can do what they did to Michigan, or get out and just kind of punch him in the mouth right away, I think good chance we kind of see a similar result. But if you let them hang in there, you never know. Like I said, Goody's been shooting very well. Balo's poses a lot of issues inside, especially with Trey's foul trouble. I wonder if maybe Painter puts first on Balo and puts Trey on Renew.
I think he will.
I would guess Lawyer on Mbako, assuming Mbako starts. I think the last, assuming either Galloway or Leal starts, I think Braden's going to take one of those guys. And then I think CJ's going to be on Miles Rice. Mm-hmm. Their defense kind of the way they play defense, they give up a lot of threes. So hopefully pretty kind of have a good shooting night and have some Mackey magic and bury them early.
Yeah, I might be going into this game too overconfident. But that's because I expected, like just a week ago, I thought IU would be riding a 3-game win streak into this game. I thought after the Ohio State game, they would win at Northwestern and win at home against Maryland. I switched my tune even before they played Northwestern, Northwestern game happened before Maryland beat Illinois, but never mind. Because right when I saw Maryland win at Illinois, I'm like, if they can win there against that team, I think they can go into Assembly Hall and beat Indiana. I think Maryland's just as far as pure talent, might be the most talented team in the Big Ten, or maybe second behind Illinois. And speaking of talent, I was trying to explain this to my wife last week, and she didn't really understand what I was talking about. I was saying how IU's roster is more talented than Purdue's, but Purdue has better basketball players.
100%.
it's really hard to explain that to somebody who is still, you know, learning the sport. She's learned a lot in the last 4 years, mm-hmm. but she's still learning it. So, and then, you know, I kind of explained the NIL stuff, you know, how, yeah, they get tons of talent through NIL, but doesn't mean they're going to gel. You don't know how they're going to gel until you get into the depths of the season. So it's
I mean, honestly, like, when was the last time Purdue, I guess from a ranking standpoint, had a better recruiting class than IU? I guess maybe the Caleb first Trey year, just because those guys were top 50 guys. And that was kind of the end of the Archie Miller, towards the end of Archie Miller, things was not going well. And I guess I'll go to 247.
Yeah, it wasn't as long ago as I think you're thinking it was.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't. Their collective recruits for themselves. I don't think their head coach, Mike Woodson, really has to go out and do too much. Their name still somehow recruits itself, even though you can't consider yourself a lead or a blue blood when you're most likely going to be on your sixth head coach next year in 25 years.
Okay. This, I guess, I might have just made a really dumb comment because I think I'm not sure if this is taking into account can't be transfers.
No.
Yeah, I guess technically last year Purdue had a better class because Indiana had one commit with Bryson Tucker. And Purdue was 19th. Let's see when they actually maybe had more than one person, because that's kind of,
yeah, that's not
what I mean. If you include, let's do overall, because that also includes transfers, because they obviously get transfers out the wazoo. I know they've had graphics where, like, they've had a top 10 class in the last, when you conclude transfers, they were 13th last year, and Purdue was 47th in this new era. 2023, they were 10th. Purdue was, got a new page. Where are we? 94th in 2023. IU was 12th in 2022. Purdue was 45th. So, I mean, we're getting the gist here.
Derek here on YouTube, while you're looking that up, says, feels like a big pick and roll game getting big switched onto Braden playing center field on defense, assuming who guards Leal, who is not a threat at all offensively. 100% agree.
I agree.
He also says IU has a full toolbox of brand new tools, but they sit in a guy's garage who has never fixed anything. Purdue has those old rusty tools in the bed of a mechanic's truck that is used to fix everything. I love that analogy. That is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we've seen it every year, at least recently. Yeah. It's just like, obviously, they have obviously more raw talent, like guys who are going to show up on mock draft boards. But again, like, as we saw with football, coaching matters, and those pieces have to fit. I mean, especially, like, I mean, look at last year. They had more five-star recruits that were either former five-stars or right out of high school five-stars than Painter's recruited his entire career at Purdue, because they had Renew, Khalil Ware, and Mbako all in the starting lineup, and they couldn't make the tournament. I mean, we're seeing with Arkansas right now. I mean, they're garbage in this year. As much as Jalen Rose disagrees on some of these things. Kansas State has got talent, not doing well. Even Kansas, they lost to Houston, which is a really good team.
Look at Rutgers.
For example, they've got, you know, two of the top three picks in the NBA draft, more than likely, and they may not even make the Big Ten tournament. And Harper's out again tonight, so that's not happening for them. It'd be incredible to Painter. It's just like, it's just so funny, because I always think, like, can he keep doing this? There's, like, finding guys and just, like, turning them into superstars. Like, Obviously, Zach was a big one. You know, Carson Edwards was another. I mean, Carson was still highly was recruited by Big Time Pro, but he wasn't like whenever he committed, we were like, who's this kid? Like, and mm-hmm. you know, goes down as an All American. Obviously, Zach Edey was our third, fourth position, and is now arguably the greatest player to ever put on the Purdue uniform. Braden Smith's going to be the best point guard in Purdue history. Already is the best point guard in Purdue history. Could be the best point to ever play the game, especially in the Big Ten. And then CJ Cox is another of those guys who's kind of starting to fall in line in that same role, which is just a credit to Painter and just how he's just so confident in how he is now. I mean, especially, you know, obviously we've been fans for his entire career. I've seen how he's changed his methods of recruiting and going after guys. And especially in today's age of with NIL, being able to, you know, for the most part, keep his main guys and keep him happy. But I think, again, this goes back to the guys he goes after. And the
it's a culture thing.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, IU gets a lot of drama, it seems like, down in Bloomington. Yep. Their fan base is delusional. And I'm not trying to say that to be mean to. I mean, we both have, I mean, your wife's an IU fan. We both have really good friends that are IU fan, but like their expectations just are not realistic. Like, I thought Brian Newbert and Derek Schultz on the Golden Black podcast put it well. Like, yeah, there's no reason IU couldn't be like an Illinois or Wisconsin, which they haven't been in recent memory. But to think they can still be a Kansas or a Duke or UConn as of late, that's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just. I mean, I'm a Yankees fan. I expect the Yankees. No, actually, I last year was a surprise, really, making the World Series because I hadn't seen it since 2009. Well, until the Dodgers came around. Now the Mets, in a sense, they would buy up the best talent every year, but it didn't always equate to winning. Sure, they'd get to the postseason, and then they'd flame out. So I've even changed my expectations as a Yankee fan, even though they still spend. Should they make the playoffs every year? Absolutely. Should Indiana make the NCAA tournament every year? Probably, with given their facilities and how they do recruit. But to say they're going to be hanging a banner every year is just unbelievably idiotic. Until their fan base gets that through their heads, they're not going to be happy with anything.
Yeah. And like, part of that problem could be, you know, the people who have been there when they were elite are the ones who are funding the NIL. And so it's like, you know, you hear stories of like when Shaka Smart was at Texas, like the boosters were telling him that, and that's why he didn't do well, because he wasn't getting his guys. And you wonder, you know, is that happening right now? Granted, I don't think Woodson's doing a whole lot of recruiting anyways.
They call him Bigfoot on the AAU trails for a reason. They know he exists, but they've never seen him.
But I do wonder. You got, you know, the big deep pocket people like the Cubans and the Cooks of the world, you know, funding their athletic department down there. I wonder, are they having a say they should go after? I have no idea. But it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a team full of Anthony Leals, because that dude cares. That dude wants to win. But he just gets lost in the shuffle because you got guys who are on much bigger pay scale and payroll that you have to play in front of them. So it's interesting. I hope to continue this run of as being mediocre, because it's crazy that they've been down as long as they have. And, you know, I think eventually they're going to get something right when it comes to new coaching hire. But who knows? They struck gold with football, but also there was no expectation with football.
Well, they need to stop trying to look, and Brian Newbert once again put this in perfect words, they need to stop looking for their next Bob Knight, fighting their next Matt Painter. I mean, yeah, stop looking for a guy who's going to win the press conference, find a good basketball coach.
Yeah, which I definitely know Painter's, that's just the way, you know, Knight did back in the day in a way. I'll be lying if I don't take joy in seeing the trauma. It's just crazy. It's like where we've come from. Like I said, growing up, you know, where we grew up, a lot of obviously IU basketball fans, and never really having the upper hand to, you know, talk with our teachers or coaches. And then when we did, we were long gone.
I mean, what's your first year you remember following Purdue basketball really closely, give or take?
Probably like 2003. My first like really well or like really good memory of a Purdue basketball game was actually against IU. I think it was 2003. Willie Dean, Kenny Lowe both had like 17 points or something. I just remember I was sick going to that game and just like crowd was, you know, Willie or Kenny Lowe hit some big shots, was pumped the crowd. I thought it was just so cool. So really kind of around that time was when I really start like having legit memories of watching. I remember going to a game, seeing Brad Miller, but that's like, I remember like the starting lineup. That's about it.
And what I was trying to bring this up for was because, yeah, January 25th, 2003, Purdue won a Mackey 69-47. After that game, Purdue only won two matchups. Let me put it in these terms. Purdue did not win back-to-back games in the series until 09, then 10, because they played them once, once both those seasons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Purdue beat them in February 14th, 2004. Indiana won in Bloomington in the return trip after the game you were talking about. That was the next year because
Katie's last year, Painter's first year. We were terrible.
Yeah.
Obviously, yep. They still had the throw one. That's in the Kelvin Sampson era where they had, you know, Eric Gordon.
But it is amazing. Like, even looking back in the early 2000s, the times Indiana would play Purdue unranked. I mean, Indiana was ranked 7th in 2002. They ranked 13th in 2006. Ranked 15th in 2008. Then you got to go clear to 2012 when they're ranked 18th. Then 2013, they're ranked 3-1. And then ranked 22nd in 2016. Ranked 21st in 2003 and 17th in 2003. All the other times, they weren't ranked.
They were ranked in 2019, weren't they? Because that was
This is just showing the winner. My bad.
Gotcha.
What they were ranked and what we were.
Yeah. This is the first time Purdue played this game in Mackey first since 2019. Because I remember that game. That's actually the last time my wife went to a game at Mackey.
70-55.
They had Romeo Langford. And he did nothing that game. And they were ranked. And that's when that kind of started their absolutely massive skid where they went from being ranked to like going to the NIT.
Yep. Steve Swingle on YouTube. Bloomington is where coaches go to die. I think you have to go back over 50 years to find a coach who left IU that wasn't fired. I believe it. It's interesting. When I'll be looking here on Wikipedia, they have notable games and instances. Notable games and incidents over here on the left. Just by the titles, so you have the disputed 1901 game. You have 1969, the mauling at Mackey. You have 1976 undefeated season, 1979 NIT championship, because both teams met in the NIT championship.
Oh, yeah.
1980 Sweet 16. So both teams met up in the Sweet 16. Could you imagine that nowadays?
Not, dude. Oh, my God.
1981 Sucker Punch and Jackass Feud. Jackass as in a donkey.
Brought out a donkey. Yeah.
1985 night chair throwing incident. 1987 high ranked duels. 1991 night tirade. 1997 Katie milestone. 2002 duel in the dome. 2005 double overtime. That was Katie's last season. 2008 Samson's finale. 2017 tiebreaker for Big Ten titles. In 2019, profane chance game.
Yeah, 2017. I forgot that was we beat them to clinch the Ten title. That was Crean's last year. I forgot about that. That was fun. I was at that game.
Yes, that was too. That was a good time. Derek on YouTube, I think Purdue breaks the record for margin of victory in this series Friday. It's Blackout Friday, for God's sakes. Yes, wear your black if you're going Friday. Wear your black.
Hope so.
So I guess, yeah, I guess it's that time of the pod. Score prediction. Well, bold prediction, score prediction, and MVP of the game.
Bold prediction.
I've been off on my bold predictions really bad this season.
Yeah.
That's why they're bold.
I got one. Every single member of the starting lineup hits a three. Let's do that.
All right. I like that. I can get on board with that.
Probably not going to happen, but I mean, I can definitely see four of the guys. I'm not sure if Caleb will shoot one. Score prediction. I think the end result is closer than it actually is. I'll say Boilers 82-66. Player of the game. Man, I probably want to say Braden again just because I feel like in this another game where Psycho Braden comes out, because there was a lot of talk in the offseason about how Miles Rice and Kane and Carlisle are going to be the best backcourt in the Big Ten potentially, even though Kane and Carlisle doesn't even start anymore. But I'm going to go Trey Kaufman Wren. I think he abuses Renew down there.
He probably hears about this rivalry more than anybody else.
Yep. Yep, being from
Sellersburg.
Yeah, so obviously he's in the pinnacle of, or the trifecta of, Indiana, Louisville, and Kentucky fans down there. He's got family who went to IU. He goes for about 24.
Steve on YouTube saying Purdue 87, IU 69. Braden finally gets his triple double. He's been so close.
He gets a triple last year. Bring us a triple double this year. That'd be awesome.
Yep. Derek, everyone who's interested, go check out Boilers in the Stands tonight at 8:30, interviewing our hero, Caleb First. Not all heroes wear capes, but this hero wears an elf costume. Have a good night, guys. Yes, those guys do great work over there. Go check them out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Boilers 79-64. My bold prediction, Miles Colvin scores 15-plus points, and he is my player of the game.
Okay, I like it.
Yep. Cameron Day, Shamrock Nation has to save our Boilers every year. And Derek's going 87-52.
Man.
Sign me up.
Yeah, you know, it does take a little bit. It won't if Purdue does do that. But I will say it takes a little bit of the fun out of it when you've got IU fans saying, hey, we helped you out with getting Walters fired. Do the same for us with getting Woody fired. Because there's like, but... Who cares?
I talked to a good IU friend of mine on the phone last night, and he brought that up to me. He goes, hey, we got your football coach fired. We helped get your football coach fired. Can you help us get our basketball coach fired? We'll do what we can. Mitch Bell on Facebook, bold prediction. Purdue wins. IU fires Woody mid-year. And Cameron Day, when Sleepy Mike gets fired and Dusty May comes to Bloomington.
I still don't think Mike gets fired and Dusty May comes. I don't know if they would actually fire him, quote unquote. I think this ends at the for a while this year. I was kind of pulling for them in some games, like maybe they think it's sneaking tournament. You know, he sticks around one more year. But after the Illinois game, I was like, there's a zero chance this dude's back. No matter what happens this year, I think if
you lose that base, that fan base, good luck getting in the back.
Yeah, I think no matter what, I think this ends in a retirement.
Now, it's hard to hire a legend.
He's a stubborn dude.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I've already seen guys like Isaiah Thomas on the campaign trail trying to get some positive publicity for Woody. I don't know. Just one more five-star. Yeah, just the amount of, like, just chirping I'd hear from people. From IU fans, like in the off season, it was always the off season about like Woody's cooking.
They win the off season every year. Overhyped every year. It's just comical at this point. Like,
yeah,
like it's become so routine. Like,
yeah,
well, yeah.
I hope the routine doesn't end. I don't know if he's gone mid year. I don't know unless like they've got a tough schedule. They have a tough schedule coming up. That's why that Maryland game looms so large in terms of them, because now they're 5-5 in the Big Ten.
Yes, they are.
You know, 6-4 going into that. You know, it's, hey, that's, you know, I was like, hey, if you double, you know, if you do the same thing in the second half, you're 12-8. That's, I mean, they've been, I think they've been over 500 in the Big Ten once since Green left or got fired.
Incredible.
Since 2016, because they, the year they, because obviously never happened under Archie, Woody's first year, they made the tournament in the play-in game, but they were like 9-11 or something like that. They, and then second year, they finally, they, you know, they were second in the Big Ten because Purdue won by three games. They were tied for second. I think they went like 12-8 still. Then last year, I don't think they finished over 500. Because usually if you finish over 500 Big Ten, you're going to make the tournament more than likely. And yeah, they've got a tough stretch with just who they play, not only at home, but obviously on the road. They've got some tough ones coming up. But yeah.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to be in attendance Friday night, be loud, wear black, and stop by one of our sponsors, Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 1993. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well known as the home of original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan, Andrew, or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer by trying out their latest pizza of the month, which you only got a few more days to get this. Their pizza of the month for January is the Greek, Greek gyro pizza. It's garlic and herb sauce, gyro meat, onions, black olives, and feta and mozzarella cheeses, finished with tomatoes and cucumbers and a tzatziki sauce drizzle, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, which is hopefully Friday night, cheering on the Boilers beating the Hoosiers, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. Any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. Mad Mushroom, feed your head. Get some pizza, get some wings, get some grinders, get some cheese sticks, of course, get some beer if you're not driving, and enjoy yourself. And Webby, where can somebody get some extremely comfortable Purdue merch and apparel if they're looking to do so?
That'd be the shop, Tanner. That's why I called you Tanner. That's weird. I don't know why I said that.
That is my name, but I mean,
it is your name. Never would call you. But obviously, go to the shop. They've been making hometown apparel since 2011. They've got now have three retail locations across Indy, one in downtown Indy. But if you want to do the cool way to do it, go to theshopindy.com. Use promo code BREAKDOWN. Get 20% off your entire order. They came out with a sweet. Oh. Indiana, I don't think it's technically Pacers because I don't think they have the license yet, but
right,
31 blue and gold bomber. I'm not even a Pacer fan, but man, that jacket looks
the Flo sweet. Joes. Yeah, it's
It
I have the really t-shirt, sweet. The 31 Flo Joe t-shirt. Which Reggie Miller is going to be the lead analyst for NBA and NBC.
Oh, so really? That's it. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm. A few more comments here before we head on out. Derek says cheese sticks. Absolutely. And Cameron Day, who's Purdue's next b-ball coach in 30 years? PJ, that would be my guess.
That's the betting favorite. Yeah, I was having a discussion actually with your dad, my dad, and another of one of our friends actually at Brokerage Brewery right before next to that's what it's called, right? Brokerage, yeah, next yep. to the new brewery location. We went to Brokerage during your bachelor party. We were talking about Purdue's potential next coach, and it was I was like, it's PJ, and then our friend was like, hopefully not for another like 20 years. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be a while,
right.
Hopefully,
right. Enjoy hopefully. Matt while we can. Derek, yeah. Edie going to Rising Stars also. Yeah, good for him.
Edie the Enforcer, apparently. The Enforcer. My God. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
That was good. I mean, guys, dudes don't take crap in NBA, so he shouldn't take crap either. Yeah. So. Yep.
Yeah. I did want to ask you kind of what's your kind of talking about the game, just from a kind of big picture view. Purdue's obviously 8-2, 10 right now. Is this where you thought you were going to be? Are you surprised? Kind of what are your thoughts? Kind of go, obviously in the first half comes to a close and now we all have 10
January's been better. January's been better than I thought it was going to be. I think we said if we could get through January with two Big Ten losses, we'd be pretty pleased. And here we are with one Big Ten loss in January, and it shouldn't even have happened. So no, I think after the non-con, we said we were going to take some lumps, and we did. And but just the way Purdue has rebounded, no pun intended, from the non-con and improved defensively and just playing good overall basketball, at least for 7.5 games, 8.5 games, whatever it has been. No, I'm pleased. They're actually exceeding my expectations right now, rounding out January, going into February.
Yeah.
Cameron Day on YouTube said, I'm surprised. I thought we'd be lower about 2 to 3 spots. And Derek on YouTube, what do you think wins the Big Ten? I think 16-4. Yeah, I think 4 losses. That's about where Michigan State's going to slide a little bit.
So I was talking to my boss, who's an Illinois fan, yesterday. And I said, I would not, and obviously Illinois, brought my 5-4 hotel block. They, is that in San? Where's the Final Four this year?
Atlanta, I think.
Well, I think San Antonio.
Let me look up. You might be right. I know it's Indy next year.
But... I don't know. Yeah.
Why did I think?
Nothing. My boss and I was like,
San Antonio. Atlanta was football.
It was San Antonio. Okay, I just pulled that out of thin air.
Atlanta was football. Yeah.
I told my boss, Illinois fan. I said I would not be surprised. I think because Illinois is like 4 losses in the Big Ten right now. Maryland, Penn State, or Maryland, Northwestern,
USC,
Michigan State. Michigan State, right? Not according to their fans, though. They didn't lose a Michigan State game. I would not be surprised if Michigan State finishes below Illinois, just because I mean, obviously it's Izzo, so prove me wrong, and he's the guy to do it. I just can't see a team who shoots that poorly from three. Just winning games. I don't know. Maybe my thought process is off. But I just feel like I just can't see them keeping up with some teams like Illinois. I guess they didn't shoot well, but like if a team does get hot, like just not be able to keep up.
It's the first team to ever go undefeated in December and January.
Yeah, I mean they're 9-0. Obviously they played a lot of the bottom feeders, but hey, I mean Purdue's kind of had this, you know, similar schedule in a way. Like, obviously, played some of the top teams so far, but yeah, as of right now, I don't feel too nervous about that game just yet. Obviously, it's a long ways away. Like, I feel way worse about the Illinois game than I do the Michigan State game right now. But yeah, I just don't see. I would not be surprised if Michigan State is outside the top 4.
Yep. So once again, Boilers in action Friday night, 8 o'clock on Fox at home against Indiana. The next week at Iowa on Tuesday. Is that right? Tuesday on Peacock. And then Friday night at home against USC on Fox Sports 1. So another Friday night home
game. The must bus comes to town.
Yeah. Yeah. They won't know I hit them when they come to Mackey Arena.
They've been playing better. They've been playing.
They have been.
They've been playing better ball.
They have been. Happen, but Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down, and POTFH and take care of the Hoosiers.
Yes, sir. Boiler up.